You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. If you're just joining in, I'm speaking with Gene Straczynski, career medical worker and director of the film Freedom House, Street Saviors. We've been talking about the creation of Freedom House, which developed the norms and practices for modern EMS. Notably, this project was run and developed in Pittsburgh's Black community in the Hill District and created a better model than the medical care the police force had previously been providing. It's the origins of the ambulance you get if you call 911. The music in the background right now, Medicine for a Nightmare by Sun Ra and his Myth Science Orchestra off the 1965 album Angels and Demons at Play. So a group of community organizers, the Hill District of Pittsburgh, a doctor, and a couple avenues of federal grant money come together, and we get this much better quality of pre-hospital trauma care. The paramedics know the people in the community, and their work inspires EMS development internationally. And yet, racism was more explicit ideologically and in policy at the time. What happened that brought Freedom House down?
Well, in 67, Mayor Barr was the mayor of Pittsburgh, and Mayor Barr was all for the program. He was a Democratic mayor. He was for the program. He wanted it to, it was the greatest thing, okay? So he was right behind them, working with them. Then later on, there was another mayor that came in, and his name was Pete Flaherty. And Pete Flaherty, he wanted everything to be privatized. So Pete Flaherty even told one of the attorneys 3 years before Freedom House was over, Ames Coney was an attorney for Freedom House, and he was at a party, and he happened to walk up to the mayor. You know, it was like a social party with, you know, all the influential people in Pittsburgh. And Flaherty didn't know that he was an attorney for Freedom House, and Ames Coney walked up to me and says, "What do you think of that Freedom House ambulance stuff?" He goes, "They're over. They're done." And that was like 2 or 3 years before Freedom House's demise. So that was already on his mind that he was going to get rid of them. So what happened was, Freedom House started expanding in the city. They ran the Hill District, they ran Oakland, which was where the hospitals were, and then the city gave them parts of downtown. So Freedom House would operate downtown Pittsburgh under a contract for $50,000 a quarter, and that's what they did. So Walt Brown was one of the Freedom House members. He was actually the manager of Freedom House, and he came up with a proposal how Freedom House could take over the entire city. And because they were training a bunch of white people, they were training them, and they thought they were training them to expand Freedom House. But they didn't know that they were being infiltrated with them. They were learning from Freedom House, because Freedom House was the only training program, because the city had a different idea. They were going to get rid of Freedom House, and these guys would take over. So what happened was, Mitch Brown got a call, this is probably back in 74 or so. He got a call to meet with the mayor. So he thought, the mayor wants to meet me because we're going to expand. And he got his proposal. He was all, you know, all nervous. He helped, a couple of guys were putting it together for him. He had all these papers he had together. And he went over to meet with the mayor, and he's standing waiting in the office there to see the mayor. And the mayor talks to him and says, "I want to talk to you about something." He goes, yes, mayor, yes, what is it? He goes, "I'm having a lot of complaints about you guys running around downtown with your lights and sirens. I don't want any more sirens going on when you're going through downtown Pittsburgh." And he went, "What?" He goes, "Well, we have a siren so people are alerted that we're coming through." He goes, "I don't want you using a siren anymore." So Mitch Brown kind of went, "What do you want us to use, a bell, like the ice cream truck?" And he goes, "I don't care what you do, but you don't run any more sirens coming through downtown Pittsburgh." So he goes, "Okay, Mayor, I want to talk to you about this proposal I have to get Freedom House to expand." He goes, "Oh, just leave it on my desk. I'll get to it later." And Mitch goes, no, I really want you to look this over, please." He goes, "You know what? Give it to one of my associates. I'll have him take a look at it, and we'll get back to you." And he knew that was it. He knew Freedom House was dead. But that's what happened. And then after that, they started freezing the money. They were, like, coming up late to those quarterly payments, and they needed those quarterly payments to make payroll. And Phil Hallen would go to these benefactors, and he would piecemeal it. 10 grand from somebody, 5 grand from somebody. And finally, it got to the point where people weren't going to give anymore. I mean, they couldn't do it constantly. And that's what they basically did. They froze Freedom House out, so city decided that they were going to take it over.
I'm curious your thoughts about Flaherty, the mayor who took over from Barr and who pushed the disbandment of Freedom House. Do you have a sense of what motivated his disbanding of that? Was it?
You know what? Saffer, in my interview on the documentary, says, I just think he was a politician. But the whole thing of it is, most of the guys think it was racism. I tried to interview Flaherty, and he didn't want to do an interview, and then he passed later, but I never could get his interview. I wish I would have got his side of the story himself. You know, the only thing I could do was just use newspaper articles from what he said in the papers.
How is it then that the city took over this model and that it became normalized practice in the city to have EMS response like Freedom House was doing?
Well, I knew that in 75, that's why Flaherty wanted to take it over, was that's when the big federal monies were coming out. Remember I told you about the white paper about upgrading emergency care throughout the country? That was through the National Highway Transportation Administration under DOT. So that was the paper that they started giving the federal monies out to upgrade emergency care throughout the country. So Flaherty knew that the big federal monies, the grants were coming in, and that's how it started to run the city. Now, they weren't sure how long that money was going to last. They didn't know if it was going to last a year or 2 years, because it was still a new program yet, and they were just getting in federal monies in. And part of the deal that Dr. Saffer made with the city was they were going to take over, but they were going to retain all the Freedom House members, and they're going to become a part of the Pittsburgh program. They weren't going to give it back to the police. They had 5 ambulances then. The city took the ambulances, and they painted them and put the city of Pittsburgh on them. They took their office equipment. They took everything. And some of the men were so angry because they wanted to bring some of the supervisors and crew chiefs, and they had all this experience, and they weren't going to give them supervisory jobs. And the white guys that were working there didn't have hardly any experience and wanted to make them the supervisors and crew chiefs. So some of them were so upset they just left. Some got jobs at the VA hospital. Some just left medicine completely. And then the few that did get in, then they screened and said, well, you know, Freedom House had some ex-convicts. Well, you're an ex-con, and the city doesn't hire ex-cons, so we're going to get rid of you and all this. And basically, that's what they did. So very few of them ended up even getting into the city. And the mayor and Dr. Saffer didn't get along. So what T. Flaherty did was started his own program. And those guys that got some training at Freedom House finished up at that hospital that Flaherty started. In 1974, Freedom House put on this big disaster drill in downtown Pittsburgh at the Point. They had officials from all over the country to watch them in action. They staged these big car accidents, and they had Dr. Nancy Caroline was overseeing it, and they were doing triages. I mean, it was a big, big drill. So Freedom House got disbanded in 1975. Well, you know, the government takes them a little bit. And in 1975, the city just started their paramedic program. And guess what the city of Pittsburgh got in 1975? The number one program under DOT from what they saw Freedom House doing in 74. That's like a punch to the gut. After they saw what Freedom House did for 8 years, the city of Pittsburgh actually started their own EMS program. It became strictly EMS. No fire department, no police, it's EMS. And today, Pittsburgh has one of the best paramedic service there is in the nation. I have to tell you this, because what happened was from what they found out from Freedom House, well, that idea carried over when the city took over. Freedom House was the test. They learned a lot from Freedom House and they expanded on it. And Pittsburgh is a leading city right now for emergency medicine. And that's what was the demise of Freedom House, never to be heard of again.
And then you finished this documentary back in 2009. Can you talk something about that?
Well, I knew about Freedom House. You know, I lived it and saw it. And then at 75, I was a paramedic. And then I always thought about their story. And later on, I got a job working in Hollywood as a medic on sets. And I used to talk to directors about it. And they said, that's a great story. And then I kept telling people, I'm going to do a documentary on them. I want to find out more about them. In 84, I actually went to Pittsburgh and interviewed Phil Hallen and Jerry Esposito, and it was on tape, and I wrote a story. And what happened was, right after 9/11, when we were able to fly again, I decided now's the time. I got to do the story. And I went to Pittsburgh, used my own funds, shook trees and rattled bushes. And, you know, it took me 9 years to finally finish the documentary. And I promised the guys I would do it. As soon as I went to meet with them, I traveled all over the East Coast, and they would interview me before I could interview them. They thought I was just another person trying to take advantage of them. But it helped because I was a Pittsburgher, I was a paramedic. I tried to join out with them. A couple of guys recognized me from Southside, and they said to me, whatever you do, you're going to tell our story, right? You're going to tell the right story. I said, yes, I am. And then they started dying on me, and I made a promise that I would tell the story, no matter how long it took. And finally got an editor that would come in and do it for free because he believed in the project, and we actually got it out. In 2009, 2010, we actually got it out.
The documentary is not available to be seen because it's being negotiated by some other production studios. Could you speak some about how listeners could learn more?
Well, you can go to the website. You know, it's www.freedomhousedoc.com. So that's www.freedomhousedoc.com. And when I first started the documentary, there was two sentences that said, in 1966, people in Pittsburgh, a community in Pittsburgh, were upset they couldn't get emergency care, and Freedom House Ambulance was started. But since I've got the documentary going and took the members around, you know, you just Google Freedom House Ambulance, you'll find a lot of info there. Now, as far as the documentary, the plan is to do the TV series, but they're going to use the documentary to showcase the series. That's why I can't put it out right now. In fact, they are more serious about holding it back now than ever before because it's so timely. So we're hoping we get the series going. We're developing now. It'll be on like Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. It's going to be on a streaming network. Then what will probably happen was the Freedom House documentary will be placed out there and just before the series, so people would see the documentary, and it'll be on to whoever picks it up all the time. But the other thing that I want to do is, as if this happens, I would like to also get them to fund a 30 to 40 minute educational version of Freedom House that we could use in schools. Freedom House is a story of overcoming adversity, okay? But what I'm saying is that it gives somebody a look and say, you know what? They fought adversity, I can do the same thing. That's what it does. If the Freedom House TV series goes, I'd like to, at the end of the series, I want to donate like a cutout section of the ambulance, and I want to put it in the Heinz History Museum, and I want to put a trailer to the documentary where kids can come in or people can walk in the museum, see the history of Freedom House. We'll put some of the uniforms up because we're going to have to redesign all that stuff. Put all that in there, and they can get a whole history feel of Freedom House and get to see it and get to feel it. And I also want to do a more of a mentoring program so that it can be used all over the country. So that's what I want to do, but COVID's kind of shut me down because I'm allowed to go out and show the documentary at events or screenings. I was holding screenings all over the country and speaking, but COVID kind of shut everything down, you know?
If people were curious in speaking with you about doing a showcase in the future or wanted to just catch up about where Freedom House is in production, could they find information about how to contact you on the website, freedomhousedoc.com?
Yeah, just go to the website. You know, you can email me through that. But I'm hoping that, you know, if we get a vaccine or if we have an antiviral drug where we can suppress this so it's not as bad as it is and we can get things back open again, yes, I'd be willing to fly to wherever and speak and put this thing on again, you know? So let's hope that sometime we're in a different position.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we get a government that wants to take control of this pandemic.
Gene Straczynski, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate you sharing this story.
Yeah, Andrew, I want to thank you very much for, you know, getting this story out more and, you know, and for putting it in front of your audience. And I really appreciate it. And let's hope that we can all get through this safely.
Background track we've been listening to, a sample of Pittsburgh pianist Ahmad Jamal from 1970 with I Love Music, sampled by Nas in the 94 track The World Is Yours. Another special length story on the Asheville FM NewsHour, We've been listening to a conversation with Gene Straczynski, the director of the documentary Freedom House, Street Saviors. We heard how the lack of effective EMS in the hands of Police Department of Pittsburgh led to a federally funded project in the historically black Hill District of Pittsburgh in 1967. Although this program was taken over by the city and discredited, it changed how EMS response has been done internationally. Amid similar concerns about our present police department's culture and failure to provide safety to all of the community, perhaps Freedom House serves as a historical example of what reallocating funds from the police to communities of color could look like. Maybe like Freedom House in the 60s and 70s, we will fund communities of color to create, continue, or expand programs and businesses that in 50 years will come to be a standard part of our communities, like our EMS, and honored in a similar documentary. Thanks for tuning in.